What's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Top Flight Pod. You know what it is? You know what we're here to do? Back on screen today, beautiful Austin, Texas. I'm with the boys. We got Football Critic joining me today, along with our special guest, my G, Kevin Morris. You might know him from Twitter. Starting off with Football Critic, mate, how are you doing tonight? We got a packed episode, a lot of news to talk about.
Thanks, man. No, I'm good. You know, ATX news finally coming. Season about to start. Couldn't be more excited. I'm really happy to have Kevin here, and we have so much to talk about.
Long time coming, mate. Definitely long time coming. Somebody whose opinion on Twitter I respect very much when it comes to Austin FC. So we'll let him introduce himself. My G, Kevin Morris, welcome to Top Flight. How are you doing today, bro?
I'm good. I've got nothing to say to introduce myself. I'm just very excited about the season, good or bad. I just can't wait to have soccer in my city again and to talk about it.
Dude, I cannot wait. Austin FC dropped a six-minute video just a couple hours ago, a little teaser for the season, really kind of hinting at the fact that the boys are heard about last season, that they're ready to give it their all. And it kind of just made a lot of fans, you know, get ready to run through walls again for this team, just like Paul said. I think he quote tweeted that and he said it. But, I mean, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff about Austin FC today. We got the Diego Rubio news, like everybody has already been chatting about. A little Latif Blessing rumor that's been going around. I don't know if we can even call it a rumor. CJ Fodry, and then the Louisville, and of course the Coachella Valley Invitational that's going to be coming up. But before we get started, I do want to send a shout out to all the Patreon and the Discord members. They did send over some questions for Kevin Morris, Football Critic, and myself to answer at the end. So stick around and make sure to tune in. So, alrighty, gentlemen, starting off with the breaking news. Austin FC has signed free agent Diego Rubio, previously with the Colorado Rapids. Austin FC announced today the club signed Chilean international forward Diego Rubio to its Major League Soccer roster. Rubio joins the Verde and Black as a free agent acquisition on a one-year guaranteed contract through the end of the 2024 season with an option for 2025. Rubio began his career with the Colo-Colo in his native country, Chile, and transferred to Portuguese giant Sporting CP in 2011 at the age of 18. After loan spells in Romania and Norway, Rubio moved to Spanish second division side Real Valladolid in 2015, spending 6 months there before joining Sporting Kansas City, SKC, shout out to Kevin, on loan as a designated player in March 2016 at the age of 22. Continuing on, Rubio signed a permanent deal with SKC in September in 2016 and has since gone on to be one of the most prolific MLS strikers in recent years. During three seasons with SKC and five with Colorado Rapids, Rubio amassed 55 goals and 35 assists in 171 MLS appearances, including the MLS Cup playoff, ladies and gentlemen. He won the 2017 Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup with SKC and enjoyed a career-best year with Colorado in 2022, which everybody seems to be reminding us since Rubio has been announced, tallying 16 goals and 7 assists. Now, almost finished, Rubio has made 12 career appearances for the Chilean men's national team, most recently in March 2023. Though originally from Santiago, Chile, Rubio has held a U.S. green card, very important there, since 2017 and will occupy domestic and senior designations on the Austin FC roster. Now, all of that mostly was from the Austin FC Communications website. You can go ahead and check out the press release there. Now, just a little bit more details here. This is from Jeff Carlisle of ESPN. He reports that Rubio will be on a 1+1 contract, which is a one-year deal plus the club option for 25, earning around $350,000 per season in Austin, which has a lot of Austin FC fans saying this is great business and another home run from Rodo Borrell and the club based on what Diego Rubio can bring to the team in the attack. Also, at a fraction of what Maxi was earning at Austin FC. That's very important detail there. Now, believe it or not, there's some cons, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Football Critic, I'm going to get your take here in a bit. But the cons that I found with Diego Rubio, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, y'all, these are my doubts, my concerns. Rubio was battling injuries all of 2023. I see on Transfer Market that an arthroscopy, thank you, Football Critic, our doctor expert. Early in the year, he was battling that, and an ankle injury in the summer. The most matches that Diego Rubio played in a row for the Rapids was 7 because, unfortunately, he could not stay healthy. So we can talk about his 2022. It was fantastic, but we have to bring up his most recent year, which wasn't the best. Now, Rubio only appeared in 16 MLS matches one Leagues Cup, one MLS Next Pro match. Diego managed to score 5 goals and picked up 3 assists in 18 appearances. So, Football Critic, I've done enough talking, kind of introduced this signing, what's really going on. What was your take? What was your initial thoughts on this signing? And then we'll get Kevin's thoughts.
Initial thoughts was we finally got a striker. You know, definitely a bit worried about that before the signing. Only had Sardis in there. I don't know if Pinu would actually make the team. I don't know if he's going to make the team, the first team. So I was definitely nervous about having only one striker. We finally got one. It's definitely not the kind of signing that you would get all excited about of, you know, that's the killer that we want and we hope and he's going to score 20 goals. No, but it's not a bad signing. If I see the contract, right, it says 1 year guaranteed. That's all we need. That's all we need to survive. An option for 2025. Hey, if he scores another 16 goals, you know, maybe he deserves it. But the most important part is that he said to be signing with a salary of 350K. That's a low number that we can afford for 1 year, right, with all of this restructuring that the Bravo is doing. And that's enough to keep us alive. Rumor is, you know, what we get from Rodo is that he's waiting for this summer to get those big signings to start really building this team. So Rubio might be that guy to just keep us afloat, keep us alive until that summer comes, right? His 2022 season does look, you know, exciting. It's not too far away. It's not too... not too far from modern day, right? 2 years ago is not that long ago. But the fact that he did have a lot of injuries in 2023 kind of concerns me. A lot of players are not the same after a full year of injuries. So we'll see. Something that caught my attention was that he was called up for the Chilean national team in March. However, the World Cup qualifiers started in September. There were 2 dates in September, 2 in October and 2 in November. He was not called up for any of those, right? So it makes you wonder, did the injuries really, you know, hurt him that bad that he could not help his team? Or was he just not good enough to help his team anymore when it actually mattered? Because the CONMEBOL qualifiers is the real test for every single country, right? And you got to wonder that, especially when Chile has not been doing well at all. They are currently 8th in the qualifiers with 5 points out of the World Cup as of right now. And because of that, they just changed a coach. They just changed their coach. And right now they got El Tigre Gareca, you know, Ricardo Gareca, Argentinian coach, who got Peru to many several World Cups. So you got to wonder, well, we'll see. With this new coach, if Chile will call him back to help them, if that means he's good enough to help Chile get out of that 8th spot, or if he's truly just not good enough for Chile, and if he's good enough for us.
Interesting, Football Critic. You bring up his involvement with Chile. The only time that he managed to even get on the bench was against Europe Venezuela. They got battered by Venezuela 3-0. I think that was a game where Soteldo stepped on the ball, if I'm not mistaken.
That was in the Brazilian league, game Soteldo did whatever he wanted with the Chileans.
Okay. Well, let's see what Kevin Morris has to say. What were your initial thoughts on this signing, mate? And I want to know from you, was this a good move for ATX? Was this good business, as everybody's saying?
I think so, yeah. I mean, on paper, the guy is he's been a great striker and a great contributor in the league for a long time. He's 30, but, you know, he's just getting on the wrong side of 30, you know. He'll turn 31, I think, yeah, in May. So he's like close to his prime. He's not quite over the hill just yet. I'm curious about what made it so difficult actually for him to find a team to sign with at the salary he's at. He's somebody that I would have expected, given his history in the league 2 years ago, having just an incredible season, team MVP. Don't quite understand what has dropped him down to 350K a year. I just would have imagined he'd have higher offers than that. But look, we don't need him to be our star. I've talked about him as like a bridge signing. The hope is that we get somebody in the summer that's a real star striker. And if that's the case, if our one and two strikers are Diego Rubio and Jassy Zardes for the first half of the season, I think we're in an okay place. This is not like we're not going to win the league with these two guys up front for us, these two older strikers, but we can definitely hurt teams. And, you know, I think Rubio with Driussi is a really interesting combination. Rubio can play a little bit deeper. He can play as a second striker. A lot of times he played in a two striker system with Colorado. So he's actually really comfortable switching back and forth. And you know that Driussi and the strikers, they do a lot of that. They do it both defensively and offensively, right? They move around a lot. So I'm kind of excited about seeing what that looks like. If he can be like 90% of the guy he was in 2022, like that'll be incredible. If he can be 80%, that will be a really good team with Driussi. So it really just depends on how much those ankle injuries are holding him back. You know, all of those injuries last year, he missed a lot of time. So yeah, we'll just have to see. But I think from a salary hit perspective, from just a quality veteran presence, the dude is has the kind of like grit and veteran experience and determination that we complained, plenty of fans legitimately complained about, was lacking in the team last year. Well, we got that now. We got that with this guy.
Interesting take there, MyG. Kevin, now you do bring up the fact like, hey, how did this guy get to 350K? You know, what's up with that? How did he get so cheap coming from the level where he was at? And that kind of falls into where I have my doubts with Rubio, because, you know, looking at his highlights, you know, this guy finishes beautifully. He has like a shot that doesn't even need that much of a run up, and he tucks it into the bottom corner, making it impossible for any keeper, right? But I'm wondering if the fact that maybe the club said, hey, you know what, we're worried that you might not play half of the games this season. We're worried that you might be injured, because that's what you're coming from. And I do want to credit Rodo, because it seems like he managed this negotiation so well, right? I think if this would have been maybe 2 years ago before Rodo was here, we would have gave this guy another Zardes kind of contract. You know, so I'm really happy. I'm really happy the way that this contract or this, you know, it was reported by Jeff Carlisle, so it hasn't been really official, you could say. But if it's the way that Jeff Carlisle is saying, the 350K, the 1+1 contract deal, this is great business. But my doubts only come with the injuries. That's my only doubt with this guy. So I think you actually said it pretty well, Kevin. Now, I do want to ask you guys, and I'll start with you, Kevin, and then we'll get Football Critics take second. Where do you put this guy? We got like, where does he slot in this team? You know, because he has played as center forward. That's where most of his goals have came from. He's played as second striker, but he's also played as an attacking midfielder. So where would he slot in Austin FC's attack?
I think the most likely spot is striker. I think there's a strong chance that he just takes that spot from Zardes to start the season.
He's
younger. He's had better seasons recently than Zardes has. I think he's a more well-rounded and more complete player. He's better in the press than Zardes. He's got more legs in him than Zardes. Again, it's all like, there's just what we don't know, which is what we were just talking about is injury history, so we don't know. But it's a very realistic potential to me that he just takes that number one spot. I don't think it'll be right away, because he's, you know, we just announced the signing yesterday. He's probably not had a ton of time in camp and training. He'll be a little bit behind the other guys, so I would expect Zardes to start the season up top and Rubio to come in as a sub, but I wouldn't be surprised if he wins it, if he's kind of on his game and fit.
Now, he is being incorporated already into the team. We see him in the photos taken off to Coachella. Now, we do make memory and remember that Zardes didn't feature against Philly in that first preseason game. He featured against Cincy. So Zardes doesn't have that much more of a preseason in 2024 than Rubio has had. So Coachella is going to be very important for Rubio and how he integrates himself into this team. So I want to ask Alex, Football Critic, where do you slot Rubio into this team? I mean, is he going to be at that nine? Is he going to battle out with Zardes for the nine? Or is he going to be Drewsy's kind of like swap in kind of guy, you know, play him whenever Drewsy wants to sit out, maybe play him at those turf fields whenever Drewsy doesn't want to play? Where do you put him at?
You know, that's a very interesting question, because you asked me that and I can think about a lot of things. Like, for one, you know, like in Discord, the Capitan over there told us like 2 months ago that Austin was speaking with Rubio. But that the problem with his salary was too big, so, you know, they couldn't get to an agreement yet. It's interesting to me that, you know, with the numbers that Rubio had in 2022, and with a lot of MLS clubs needing a number nine, why is this late and nobody picked him up, right? So definitely props to Rubio for managing that negotiation well, but it does, you know, makes me doubt, like, what's Rubio's situation regarding his level that made him not being picked up by any other team before, and it was until this late in the transfer window for us to sign him. It worked out for us, but just saying, wondering about his level. Regarding his positioning, it's also interesting because if you realize in 2022, in his best season, he was playing with Zardes, right? So what Kevin says is really important, because the fact that he is that guy that can switch back and forth with an attacking midfielder behind or a striker in front of him, kind of tells me that it would be very interesting to do that with Drewsy, because Drewsy does that. Drewsy stays, he's a midfielder, right? But in 2022, in his best season, he was the one that would come up out of nowhere and score those goals. So if they can do that, if they can have a chemistry that to switch back and forth, and Rubio is half of the player that he was in 2022, I think there's a lot of potential for us to start scoring a lot of goals. And if not Seba, if Rubio can play how he played next to Zardes, that's also good news for us. That being said, I also agree with Kevin about him not taking this starting spot right away, because we need to see where he is at. But these three games in Coachella are key. And I think we saw that he was already with the club. You know, I don't know how much training he had, but he was already with the club. I got a feeling that he has somewhat of a head start. So I don't think it will take him long to start over Zardes, but I think that's the main position. Like, he's going to start over him and not next to him.
Really important detail, Football Critic, that you brought up earlier about Capitano bringing Diego Rubio's name up. And I think he was even brought up in LDR Slack a month ago. I know Fucho had a tweet that resurfaced recently, you know, kind of he was hinting at Rubio flirting with Austin FC, so it's very interesting to see it finally end in the way, but with him joining the team. And just like we were mentioning, we think he's gonna bring a lot to the attack for Austin FC. But if he can stay healthy, that's really just my main question. Now, before we go to the Latif Blessing conversation, I want to ask you guys for a final grade on this move. You know, Football Critic, I'm gonna start with you. You know, do you give this an A plus, or do you want to give it like a 1 to 10? Where are you at with this signing of Diego Rubio?
I'll give it a 7. You know, it's like, I'll take it. Okay. I'm not overly excited, but it works.
A 7. A little low. I thought you were going to go higher, but I guess I'll take it.
I'm happy. I'm happy. Just, I'm not going to be jumping all around about it.
Mm, Okay. All right. All right. So with that one, we'll slot it over to my G Kevin. Kevin, where are you at, man? Give it a 1 to 10 or give it a.
Such a tough one just because I don't know about his health. But I think just purely theoretically for the price, our need, and the player we got, I will give it an A or a 10 out of 10.
Oh, 10 out of 10 or an A.
10 out of 10.
For what we needed at this time.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Just
I like
to
that
be
take.
Clear.
I like that take. All righty, gentlemen. We're going to move forward to Latif Blessing. He is somebody that has been associated with Austin FC the past 24 hours or maybe the past 8 hours. I don't know. Because shout out to the boys at North End. I think they were the ones that came out with the first. No, before North End, it was the Poyo FC guys. Shout out to the guys at Poyo FC. They were the ones that kind of, I don't know how this developed or how it came to be. It could just be nothing. It could be smoke. But apparently Latif Blessing could be on his way to Austin FC. I don't know how. Either a GAM deal or a trade deal. The boys at North End, they pay attention to these kind of deals and what goes into these MLS transactions. They think it could be a trade. I don't know if that's the case or not. Like I said, nothing is official. Nobody is really reporting anything. But I'll start off with you, Kevin. I mean, what do you think about Latif Blessing possibly, maybe, joining Austin FC? I mean, does he fit what this team needs? We talked about how Rubio is what this team needs right now. Latif Blessing, does it even make sense?
It could make sense. It all depends. It's like Rubio. I mean, I'm giving Rubio a really high grade because he's cheap, right? Okay. That's why I like the Rubio deal. It depends on how we get him and just how much of a strain he puts on the salary cap. But he's definitely a guy that can contribute. I don't know that he'd like instantly work his way into the starting lineup. If Latif Blessing is coming off the bench for us, I think that that's definitely adding strength to the roster, like pretty inarguably. The guy is like, I don't know if you've ever seen him play. He's like a bee just buzzing around the field. When he played with LAFC and Bob Bradley, that team was really strong in the counter press, you know, so they'd win the ball back really aggressively. And he was a really key part of that. Something that I don't think that we've ever been particularly good at. So to have that piece would be good. I don't think he is the most, I don't think he's the best at patient buildup play. So I'm not sure how he'd fit, you know, when we're in the middle of building the horseshoe of sadness. I don't know how much he'd contribute to that, but you know, we're terrible in transition. We're terrible at winning the ball back in transition. He'd help out a ton. And so there's different kind of game states that he'd be really good at. But I mean, this is the whiff of a smell of a distant rumor. Far away.
Very distant, far, far, far away, like Shrek and Donkey would say. Now, according to the MLS player salaries, the MLS PA website, as of September 15th of 2023, Latif Blessing is on a $665,000 guaranteed compensation contract. So, Football Critic, you know, you hear what Kevin has to say. I paid attention to Latif a little bit, very brief, in his time in LAFC. But Football Critic, where are you at with this possible rumor? This rumor of a rumor, really, that's what it is. Where are you at, Football Critic, on Latif Blessing possibly looking to join Austin FC?
Well, if I think about the player, it's not bad in the sense that it's one more body that we need. Like Kevin said, I checked on his time at LA. And what he has is his speed and explosiveness on the wings, which is something that we have always complained that we don't really have, right? So I think he just brings some other set of skills that we could use. However, I don't think by any means he would be a goal scorer or an assister or anything like that. I mean, I in his stats, he had like 17 goals and 17 assists in like 150 something games. So definitely not that. And I remember LAFC fans not really liking his production that much, although he was competing with Vela and, you know. So the way I see him is comparing him to our past. is he better than Redis, or would he be better than Redis? I would say yes. Would he be better than Memo? We didn't get to see Memo that much, but I think he has the potential to be better than Memo. He's definitely not going to be better than Diego Facundes, right? So if I'll take him, like, again, for 1 year, for us to keep to stay afloat, for us to not just die all of this 2024, I'll take him, although not, I wouldn't take him at that 600K salary. Definitely not.
That's the big question there. What would a guy like Latif Blessing be earning at a club like Austin FC, right? That's probably one of the biggest things that would have Austin FC fans either agreeing with this move, with the signing, or disagreeing with it. Now, I do want to point out not just his poor contributions in the attack. He only has one assist in 2023, and also I think the year before that it was very similar numbers. But I want to point out why this would even make sense to me is the fact that Latif Blessing, if you go to Transfer Market and see what positions this guy plays, he's all over the pitch. He's played in defense. He's played in central midfield. He's played in the attack, on the wings. And if I know Josh Wolf, even a smidge, I know he likes those Swiss Army knife players. Hector is one of those guys, and there's just many more that have came through this team, right? But I think that that's one of the reasons why they would even be thinking about adding a guy like Latif Blessing at the right price. We see what Rodo has been doing. He has been cooking, right? But, I mean, Kevin, is there anything else you want to add on this before we move on to CJ?
Flexibility is like the word of the year, I think, with Austin FC. So, yeah, that says something. I find it hard to believe just because I personally don't think he really fits the profile of player for the system. And Burrell is all about players that fit the profile this time around. So I'm a little bit... I'm not really sold on this, but maybe they'll surprise me.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens here in the near future. Now, Coachella is coming up, but we'll get to that here in a bit. But we'll see what happens to Latif Blessing and see if he's telling some of these fans the truth. And we'll see. Maybe he's just, you know, trying to sell some smoke. But all right, moving on to my G, CJ Fodry. And yes, he is injured. He picked up a small little knock. Now, information, this came out first from the boys at the North End Pod. Shout out to them. CJ Fodry was seen at the St. David's Hospital on the morning of February 1st with a brace on his right knee, ladies and gentlemen. But it doesn't stop there, because fans had doubts since multiple people had seen CJ Fodry at a season ticket holder event the same day. And he seemed fine, according to multiple people that hit us up after the rumor post was posted. There was confirmation, though, that CJ did visit the St. David's Hospital. So he was, in fact, there with the brace on his knee. And then later on, there was more confirmation from sources in Austin saying that it wasn't a big injury. It was just a small knock, no tear. They were scared at first, though, that something could be wrong, but CJ is good. He'll just be out for a little 1 to 3 weeks. We see him on the flight to Coachella in the back with Salvatore Mazzaferro, Michael Burton, but he's probably going out there, you know, just to take part of preseason, trying to integrate with the boys. He's most likely going to be part of the first team. He didn't feature against Louisville, so that kind of put it into stone that he did pick up a very small, tiny knock. So I want to start off with Football Critic on this one, mate. What was your initial reaction to CJ Fodry picking up a small knock? Austin seems to just not catch a break. I butchered that little saying there. Sorry, Football Critic. But what were your thoughts, brother?
My thoughts were exactly that. Not so much CJ, because I know he will, you know, he'll get out of it. It's not just a small knock. It's nothing big. He's young. But what's going on? You know, like we spent the whole of 2023 with injuries. You would hope for things to get better, and then you got a young, should be healthy guy player getting injured in preseason. I mean, hey, like, I don't know what the club is doing. I don't know if someone is to blame, because we could be bad luck, but you know, we can't afford another season of injuries.
I have a question for you, mate. Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't CJ Fodry pick up a small injury last year in preseason 2 where he was working by himself? It was like a quad, something like that. Quad
injury. He did.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it's not the same thing, right? Hopefully it's not the same thing. We don't really know. There hasn't been official confirmation. But I want to ask you this, Kevin. I mean, is there a problem if CJ Fodry misses out on the home opener? Did you have him as a starter?
Oof. I do think it's a problem if we don't have him available for the home opener. I think it's possible he starts. I just don't know enough about, like, we haven't even seen like a true first choice lineup in any of the friendlies we've seen yet, right? Like, it's all been these mixed lineups, so I don't even know what they're thinking about for real. So it's really hard to know, but he's like on our left wing. We don't have a lot of options right now. So we kind of need CJ to be healthy to start the season, absolutely. And so I'm hoping it's more like in that 1 to 3 week range, or sorry, in the 1 week range and not the 3 week range. If it's 1 week and he's back and training, then we'll be good. If he's not, then we're starting to look a little thin on the wings. We'll probably, I mean, man, we'll, what are we going to do? See a wing back formation? Almost certainly. Who's going to slot in at left wing?
True,
if CJ is not playing,
that's gonna be tough. I mean, you got some new some new players like Hader, but you know, he's more on the right now.
Yeah,
so we'll see what happens there. Now, Football Critic, I do want to get your take on that same question. I mean, did you have CJ as a starter? And you know, hey, maybe best case scenario, just like how Kevin kind of mentioned, CJ misses the first Coachella game against Chicago, maybe gets small minutes against the Galaxy, which is going to be streamed, and then he probably takes full he participates fully with the team in that third game against the New York Red Bulls. But Football Critic, where are you at? Did you have him starting on game day one for Austin FC?
No, not really. I do think he's important. I do think he might be that number two guy, but no, I don't have him as a starter. I think we're more than likely to see a variation of either Rigoni or Hader at left wing. And we still have Finley for right wing. So I don't. Also, Hader has been playing well in preseason. So to me, and I think they want to play Emmy, and they should play Emmy, being the DP that he is. So I think CJ for now, and I don't see it being otherwise in the near future. He for now is the number two guy in the wings.
Now, one thing that I have been seeing on team photos that have been posted by the club is that I don't know about you guys, but I see Hader and Drewsi getting closer and closer every week that goes by. The goal that Hader scored, Drewsi assisted, you know, kind of, he just like laid it off, but Drewsi just seemed relieved. Like, it's like, what? Somebody scored that wasn't me? Like, oh, weight taken off of my shoulders, you know. So I even mentioned this on the Discord earlier today. I was like, hey, don't be surprised if we see, now that Maxi's gone, right? We see the new trio, Hader, Rigoni, and Drewsi. That'd be very interesting. I mean, Valencia should be the natural friend because they are from the same place, but I don't know, Hader and Drewsi, I'm seeing something there. I'm seeing something. But alrighty, guys, I do want to move forward to the Louisville preseason game that happened. Now, this is one of those games in preseason that we can only talk about what we know, and we know very little because this was closed door to the fans, only for corporate sponsors, Q2 sponsors, whatever, right? Whatever you want to label them as. But there was many people there, right? And there was a couple people talking here and there saying, hey, this is happening, this person scored. So it wasn't fully closed to the fans. There's always a way to get information out of somewhere, right? So in their first appearance at Q2 Stadium in 2024, Austin FC took on USL Championship opponents Louisville City FC in a preseason friendly on Saturday. The game lasted 120 minutes as the Verde and Black focused on fitness and team chemistry ahead of their MLS season opener in 3 weeks. Now, that was from the MLS press release, the Austin MLS press release. Hader Obrien, a recent addition to the team, scored his first goal, just like we mentioned, Football Critic, early in the match. Now, this is what they tell us. Brad Stuver passed it to Emiliano Rigoni. Emmy went up on the left wing, found Drewsi, who played it to Hader Obrien. We see that in the video posted by the club. And Hader by himself, with acres of space, he makes no mistake, puts it into the back of the net. Now, Louisville did manage to tie the game shortly after due to a mistake by Antonio Gomez. Now, that's not confirmed, but we do have people telling us that that's the case. We all have to remember also that he is the center back that's on trial with Austin FC. He is also on that airplane on his way to Coachella, important to note. Now, moving forward, the goals didn't stop there, because after the halftime period, Louisville did make some changes. Austin FC did not make any changes at that moment just yet. And Louisville went up 2-1, right? So at that point, some fans were like, hey, what's going on? Why are we losing to Louisville, a USL side? But there was also another part of the fan base that was saying, hey, it's just preseason. Chillax. Calm down. Some guy even said it's a must-win preseason match. I don't know who that guy was, but why is he putting that information out there for the world to see? Now, Valentino Well, one of the players that was brought on in the second period of play. Austin FC did make a bunch of changes. They brought in a whole new team. Valentino was in there. He equalized for Austin FC. It was a shot from distance. You all saw that it hit the post, went off of Damian Laws's back, and went into the back of the net. Now, a bit of luck there, but he doesn't care. I'd argue that the goal before this one was lucky, because he didn't even try to finish it like that. It was a ball back into the box. This one was a good shot. I wish it would have gone into the back of the net straight up, so I would have no doubts. But it hit the post, and the ball was kind of going out. If it wasn't for Damian Loss, it wouldn't have been a goal. So fans can hate me. Man, I don't know. Now, in the final minutes, both teams traded goals. Jozy Zardes converted a corner kick from Jan Komanic, who was playing his first minutes, ladies and gentlemen, since recovering from an ACL injury last April. However, Louisville leveled the score just before the final whistle due to another center back mistake. But this time, we're being told it was Sal Mazzaferro. The game ended in a 3-3 draw. So I do want to ask you, Kevin Morris, I'll start off with your take, mate. Before we break down the lineups, what was your overall thoughts on this match that we know very little of?
My overall thought is I know very little about it. I would say, I think, you know, we saw the video for the Obreon goal. Interesting, like, yeah, there's Rigoni on the left side. And Obreon is making a run inside, right? Like a really good later arriving run into the box to finish the goal. I couldn't tell if Driussi like laid it off to him or just let it skip by him. It wasn't clear from the video. But I have such strong doubts about Rigoni, like, actually on the wing. The only games that he really started to show himself last season was when he was tucked inside a little bit. So, but I mean, it's great to see him get an assist from that position. It's another situation where, you know, if that's all we've got, then, you know, hopefully we make do, and hopefully the other positions that we've filled out, can step up. Other than that, I mean, a couple of mistakes from a couple basically like trialists or Austin FC two players. I'm not going to be too bothered about that. I never take the actual results from preseason very seriously. I mean, you know, who knows what happened in the build up to a goal? Who knows if it's, you know, the guys just aren't in shape yet. Match fitness is a real thing. The how quickly you think and react to things, it takes time to build that up and get it back. So I just never read too much into it. But I agree with you that connection between Obreon and Driussi is really exciting, especially seeing them the two of them in the middle of the field like that is very exciting. And especially because Obreon's got that pace. We never have had anyone wider in the center of the field with that amount of pace other than Galli.
Oh, good take there by my G, Kevin Morris. Man. Now, Football Critic, I want to bring you in on the lineup discussion, mate. Now, for the first half, Football Critic, we had Stuver in goal, right? Everybody loves Stu. Hit up the dispensary for those Stuver pens. We had Gallagher on the left back position. Gomez, the center back on trial, like Kevin Morris mentioned, he was partnered up with Sal Mazzaferro right there in the middle of the defense, with Chicture on the right back position. Valencia was at the 6, Owen at the 8, and Driussi at the 10. No real surprise there, but I have a take that I'm going to bring up here in a bit. And then we see in the attack, Obreon on the right, Chris Garcia, the lone player from El Paso Locomotive, he was at the 9, and then Rigoni on the left-hand side. Now, the first half goals, like we mentioned, Jader Obreon, assist from Rigoni, maybe from Driussi. Like Kevin said, we don't know if he laid it off or he just let it go by, or who knows, right? We talked about Jader just a bit. Now, Football Critic, I want to ask you, you know, about the lineup, but also he bags his first goal, and it's his first goal of the preseason. He already has an assist from the previous match. How much of a good pickup is he shaping up to be for Austin FC, mate?
Well, it's kind of hard to tell because, again, we haven't seen them. We don't know much. But it's at least telling me that he's feeling comfortable. He's feeling comfortable playing with Drewski, playing with Fiboni. MLS, like real MLS, once the season starts, a whole different level. It's not friendly matches, right? Mm-hmm. But for now, it at least tells me that he's settling in. He's finding that chemistry up top with not necessarily the striker, but with Drewski, who is the most important offensive player for us, and Rigoni too, I guess. So regarding Hader, I think it's all good signs. While I'm not going to take the results seriously because these games are all experimental, I mean, that lineup, almost the full defensive line is experimental, right? A trialist, Mazzaferro, Touré, that's not a real defensive line for us. But I'll take the ideas that came out of that lineup, and that's Hader and Drewski. So I'm happy in that sense.
Now, one of the questions that I had on Owen, right, I did kind of take a moment to put an emphasis on him when I was talking about the lineup in the first half. The question I have here is, we're seeing Owen involved with Drewski a lot in the midfield this preseason. Is that a sign of what's to come between Owen and Danny? Competition will be at an all-time high. Now, Football Critic, I want to get your take on that first, and then we'll see if Kevin wants to add anything onto that.
Well, it seems like it because we have already got confirmation from Wolf and his comments that they are trying Danny more offensively, right? Correct. And we are at the same time seeing that they are playing Valencia defensively, where he's best at. So if you're going to have a Ring versus Valencia competition, Danny is left to have that competition with Owen, because I like to believe that Owen is not alone for that spot, right? So I think we could very well see an internal competition between Owen and Dan. That being said, and this is a touchy subject for some people, I'm sure some people may call me biased, but to me, I don't feel like, when you count that we have Ring, Valencia, Danny, Owen, looking at those four, to me, I don't see a formation that is best with Owen on the field. Mm. And I don't mean that as if Owen is a bad player. Not at all. He's a great player, but he's still young. I feel like he still doesn't have enough arguments for me to be an indisputable starter. He will continue to grow. I'm sure he'll grow a lot this season again. But I just don't see, between all those four players, a combination that's better with Owen on the field. So if we start seeing this with the season starts and Owen keeps on being the indisputed number eight, it either means that Danny really isn't ready offensively, or it can mean that we maybe are not putting our best 11 on the field. And if you realize, we haven't seen really, again, we don't know much, but we haven't seen really much of Owen this preseason, any highlights, any important plays, or anything. So, I don't know. We'll wait and see.
We'll definitely wait and see, mate. Now, we did receive a little bit of a cool video from Austin FC today. I think it was uploaded onto their Apple TV content, kind of a bit of a highlight on Danny Pereira. You know, something that we had mentioned a couple weeks ago, months ago, how he's turning into the face of the club when it comes to media and doing you know, this kind of creative content for Apple TV and stuff like that. You know, it's always Danny, right? He's popping, as some folks could say. But I want to ask Kevin, you know, kind of going along the same line, you know, is there a lineup where Owen starts over Danny Pereira in 2024? Like, is that a real possibility that could happen?
No, it shouldn't happen, I don't think. The only possibility, and it's really hard to judge, of course, because his dad is the coach, If he's really outplaying Danny, then sure. I mean, that's the case with any player on the team in their position. If they're really the better player at that position, then hell yeah, they get the starting position. Just hard for me to believe that at Owen's age and the quality that Danny's got, that that's a possibility this season. So no, I don't expect it. I expect Owen to be a bit of a Swiss Army knife type of midfielder this season, playing a few different roles in that midfield, but we'll see.
Okay. All right. Now in the second half of the lineup, we had Cleveland come in and go. Jimenez slotted in at the left back, Cascante and Hedges were center backs. Ramirez, the lone player from Atlas, he was at the right back position. We had Alex Ring at the six. People love to see that. Danny at the eight, speaking of Danny Pereira. And Noel, who we mentioned earlier, he was at the 10. We had Finley on the right, Zardes on the 9, and then Jimmy Farcarlin, he was the left wing position there. We saw a little bit of a clip, but it was very blurry. We see Jimmy kind of miss a goal there, goes just wide. But let's see. On the Komenich conversation, just real quick, a question. Jean comes on for Alonso Ramirez and moments later delivers a corner to Zardes, who heads it into the back of the net. Football critic, any thoughts on Zan's first minutes back? I mean, it's definitely nice to see him. And then we'll go on to the Coachella Valley next, mate.
I can only tell you that it's nice to see him back, that it's nice to see him being able to contribute to the team again. But I haven't seen anything, you know. This is not on Danny, but I haven't seen anything. And even if that in that starter's goal was so, like the quality of the video was so poor that I couldn't see how he scored that goal or what Danny did. So I don't know. I mean, I'm happy for him. I still believe that, well, it all depends on how he settles in. But I believe that, Biru will take over that starting spot over Zan. That's my impression as of right now. I think he should, considering how he's been playing consistently in the Serie B of Brazil. But I am happy, and I want Zan to give Biru his the fight for the spot. I want them to go at it.
Yeah, man, you cannot forget about Biru. He's still yet to arrive at Austin FC. I know Coach Wolf mentioned how he wants him to be incorporated into the team, or at least get to Austin before the season starts. So we're, 18 days away today, if I'm not mistaken? It'll be 17 tomorrow by the time this pod comes out. So we'll see just when Guilherme Biru gets involved with Austin FC. Now, he's still going to have to be brought up to speed and whatnot, but if you follow him on Instagram, on social media, he has been, you know, posted videos of him in training with a trainer. But you know, it's nothing compared to what Coach Wolf and his staff is going to put him through here in Austin, Texas. Now, we can move forward to the Coachella Valley Invitational, and we have some Patreon questions here at the end. Now, Austin FC versus Chicago Fire tomorrow. It'll be today when you're listening to this pod at 3 p.m. That's Central Time. That's going to be the first match of the Coachella Valley Invitational for Austin FC. Are there any expectations for this? I mean, where are you guys at with this? I don't even know if it's a tournament. You know, it's kind of like a hangout. It's kind of like what I'm calling it right now. So, Kevin, starting off with you, mate, I mean, are there any expectations going into this other than stay healthy?
No, that's it. Stay healthy. Get minutes. Or we can say get in shape. You know, I've already said it a few times. Don't read too much into preseason. Don't. Other than like once they start putting out what's probably the starting 11, that's like the biggest thing that you can draw from preseason. And I'm sorry if this is a boring, unexciting conclusion, but I have seen incredible things from players in preseason, and nothing happened for them in the regular season too many times in this league and other leagues. But, you know, it never hurts to see a guy playing well. It never hurts to see a guy gaining confidence. So I guess that's something to look out for, too.
All right. My G, football critic, where are you at on that, mate?
Well, I agree that definitely the most important part is to stay healthy. I do not want any injuries starting this season or during the season. I really need this team to stay healthy because we don't have a lot of depth. But I don't know. I don't know exactly what to expect because it is a hangout. It is, you know, nothing important. But I don't know until what point we want to stop experimenting and until what point we want to start to put out our ideal team to start to actually start the season. Because in this tournament, we're going to play, you know, actual MLS teams. And while they cannot as well be experimenting, at some point, you need to start building your A team, your chemistry, your ideas, solidifying them. Three games, three good games. Again, I don't know how until what point you want to keep experimenting and until what point you want to solidify what you want to do.
Yeah, and also right after those three games, mate, we have one more. It'll be against New York City FC here in Austin at home. Not sure yet if that'll be at Q2 Stadium again, closed doors, or would it be a nice little treat for the fans at Better the Hill? You know that everybody will like it if it's at the training ground, so they can go to the Better the Hill, sorry. But we'll see what happens. So just like the guy said here, don't try to read in too much of preseason. I know that sometimes I do the exact opposite, and I look into preseason a little bit too much. But hey, maybe you should listen to Kevin and Football Critic just a bit more, all right? But all right, guys, hey, we're moving forward to the Patreon questions. We have about a little more than 10, so we're going to go ahead and get into them right now. Now, starting off with Osiel, shout out to my G Osiel. He goes on to say, which World Cup host city is your dream destination to watch a game? Football Critic, starting off with you, mate.
MLS away? Oh, no, sorry, World Cup.
World Cup, mate.
I'm gonna say Azteca because I've never been to Mexico, and that seems like a really, really nice stadium.
Well, I don't know if it's nice because they're always doing work on it. He's a very old stadium, so I'd say historic. I don't know about nice. I wish they would put a little more attention to detail on it. I know Brian will definitely tell you. I think there was a video one time where it was like kind of moving or something, the stadium. They have to do some work on it. But let's see, Kevin, is there any stadium in the USA, mate, that you would love to see the USA play at?
In the U? No, I don't. Like, there's nothing too exciting to me in the States. I would rather go to Mexico and watch games.
Now, I think Mexico is going to play, if I'm not mistaken, they're going to the Azteca and the Akron, which is Chivas Stadium, another beautiful one. But there are so many beautiful stadiums all across Mexico. I think Monterrey, the BBVA one, that one has the scene of the mountains that everybody has seen. Oh, man, yeah. That's such a stadium. And I don't know if that was chosen.
I mean, look, I'd be really excited to go to any U.S. game anywhere in the States. But if we're talking about, like, destination cities, it's all the Mexico cities.
100%, mate. I agree 100%. I actually had somebody already invite me and said that they're already planning on going to the Mexico City World Cup opener and if we wanted to go. So if I can, I'm going to definitely be there. So we'll see what happens. We'll see. Now, I think the USA does play all of their games in the West Coast. The final, of course, is in MetLife, New Jersey, in the East Coast. That's going to be interesting. I thought it was going to be in Dallas, y'all. I was kind of hurt when it wasn't, but it is what it is. Public transportation wind it for sure won it. Now, this is from Mr. Austin FC. He says, what do you think about Rubio getting number 14? And we'll get Kevin Morris's thoughts on this one first. What do you think about Diego Rubio getting Diego Fagundes' 14? And he even commented on the post. He kind of gave Rubio his blessing. He was like, hey, I like that number. Good luck.
Yeah, the benediction of Diego. I just don't think it, I don't know. It's fine. It's soccer, man. Like, the numbers are recycled all the time on every club team. So it's not like we're going to retire the number because the first Diego wore it. And he's a very worthy number two, Diego, number 14.
Hey, man, some fans were saying that we should have retired 14 after Diego left. No. And also fans came out on X, formerly known as Twitter, saying, hey, 14 is a very important number. If he's going to take it, he must know that it comes with pressure. Kind of like a Manchester United number 7, a Real Madrid number 7, or a number 5. So 14, very important for Austin FC. I kind of like how some fans are giving it the pressure of like, hey, if you're going to pick up 14, you better be a player that produces for us. But Football Critic, anything you want to add on that, mate?
No, I mean, I agree. I mean, Real Madrid didn't retire number 7. Barcelona didn't retire number 10. Santos got relegated. And they thought about retiring number 10 for Pelé while they were in Serie B. Meanwhile, they go back to first division, and they didn't. There's a player, Venezuelan player, with a number 10 Santos jersey in the second division of Brazil. So, I mean, if those clubs aren't doing it, no. I mean, I understand the sentiment, but if anything, if anyone has a number 14 jersey with Diego on the back, they can still use it.
You said that last time. I thought that was pretty funny. All right. This is from Vanilla Mexican. He says, for now, did Austin FC dodge a bullet on getting Miguel Borja after purchasing Diego Rubio for free? So pretty much saying like, hey, did we dodge a bullet by not getting Borja after getting Rubio for free? Football Critic, you have any thoughts on that? Would you rather have Borja for, let's say, $4 million or Rubio on a free?
The problem is the price, bro, because right now Borja is, I believe some stat came out saying that he was the most effective striker in South America at the moment. So are you really going to say no to the most effective striker in South America in the Argentina's first division in Copa Libertadores? Like, are you saying no to that? But then again, do we have any DP spots away to give away, or do we have the cap space to get him to this team? So it all depends on the price.
All right. Vanilla got his question answered there. Now, Kevin, I'm going to give you this question. This is from Ghost of You 94. Shout out to my G. He says, will Rubio be ready to go by match day one, or do you think he will need a lot of time to get acclimated to Austin and Austin FC?
Yeah, we kind of touched on that. I have a feeling he'll be ready for some 7 minutes on match day one. And I think it'll probably be like maybe 2-3 match days until he's ready to start a game. That's my best guess.
Okay, all right. Now this question here, this is for me. Let's see, we have here Ociel. He asks, predictions for tomorrow's game and the game against Galaxy. Prediction for tomorrow? I see a draw, 2-2. Prediction against Galaxy, we beat them with a 3-1 or a 2-1. That's what I'm going with. Let's see, boys, you have any predictions for those games? I know you guys don't like to look too much into it.
Diego Fernandez. Oh, I was going to say an own goal hat trick. We win.
I'm good if he scores some goals, so I'm fine with that.
All right, let's see. We got one here from Rigo Pinguino. He says, given Rodolfo's comment on not being able to seal the deal on targets, do you think signing Diego is a consolation prize motivated by the desperation to fill out the roster? Oof, that's a good one.
Kind of like both things. Like, kind of, yeah. Like, I mean, we need a striker desperately, and we got one. I don't think that makes it a bad signing. Like, just because you do something in desperation doesn't mean that it's a bad deal or it's not going to work out. But also, I don't think, like, I think it's pretty clear, again, that this is like a bridge signing and the plan is for something bigger in the summer. It's hard for me to believe that anyone in the FO is satisfied with Rubio and Zardes as our only two guys up top.
I think so too. I think that there's still enough room and hopefully there's still plan to bring in another guy, a big name striker, as you could say. I know some people have even mentioned Giroud to come to Austin FC. I know a lot of folks have been asking about him, but not necessarily Giroud, but a player of that kind of recognition around the world could be coming to Austin. And if they do, those names that we cannot believe, it'll only be in the summer. So I think everything is still building up for that summer window, just as we've been saying for a couple months now. But Football Critic, anything you want to add on that question, mate?
I think it might have been a desperate signing for both sides, you know, because like I said, yeah, we're desperate to get a striker. But then again, no one was picking up Rubio. and the transfer window was closing up. So maybe he was desperate too to get a team to play in MLS where he was good. At the end, it worked well for us. We know Rodo likes to play the waiting game. You know, he proved it by asking by raising Dani's price when teams wanted him. So he likes waiting. He likes to get what he can at the very last second. But yeah, it was. I think it was definitely a desperate move. I would say for the both of us, but that works in our favor.
Okay. All right. Good takes there. Now, Bricky T. He asked, what is the most likely way Austin frees up a DP spot for the summer? But his question was answered by Adam in the chat. He says, selling or buying down Ring's contract. So, shout out to my G Adam Ben Lazis for answering that one. Now, this is from Ryan Brack 91. Excuse me. Shout out to my G. He goes on to say, does Kolmanic set a new career high on assists this year, over four? Does Drussi Diora get more than 20 goal contributions and assists this year? And also, with Baby Wolf turning 16 in August, Gavin, if I'm not mistaken, do you see him bumping up to Fcito this year? Now, he is a rare left-footed center back, just as yours truly was at one point. So we'll see what happens if he can go into Fcito. But we'll start off with the Zan Kolmanic one, with the Jan Kolmanic. Football Critic, do you see him getting more than four assists this year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it depends so much on him, rather the offensive line.
I think it really depends. I was going to say the same thing. Who's our striker?
Yeah, it really depends on who finishes the play. But I can see Zan getting more four or more assists. Yeah.
Okay, Kevin, where are you at, mate?
Yeah, it just four assists is not crazy. Mm-hmm. So it's entirely possible, especially if he ends up getting some good minutes. I still, I'm the same as you. I think Biru is gonna win that starting spot though, so it's gonna come probably in sub minutes or maybe playing a slightly different position.
Now, what about the question that Ryan asked about Drussi Diora getting more than 20 goal contributions? That's goal and assist.
Yeah, I think he can do it.
Honestly,
just thinking about
his
raw numbers last year, like per 90, if he's healthy all season, I think it's totally realistic that he could do that.
And then one more he asks, he says, hey, with Baby Wolf turning 16 in August, Gavin Wolf, is he going to break that Fcito squad?
No.
No?
No.
No, he has to. He has to. He has
for
to.
For center back?
For center back.
I don't know.
Well, he's a Wolf. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
He's 16. Center backs develop a little bit more slowly, you know. That's so I'd be a little bit surprised if he does.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't think Coach Wolf is making that decision. So if he gets called up to the second team, then that's pretty good. Pretty good
now,
sign.
The last question here is from Sama 15. Shout out to my G, big Chivas fan. Actually, biggest Cade Cowell critic right now, I think. He says, what would be your ideal starting 11 for the 2024 season? I guess we can kind of answer all that. All of us can answer that one. In goal, pretty simple, right? Stuber.
Yeah.
Stuber. Left back. Biru, when he gets here?
If he's here.
Are we playing a 4-3-3-H? Is that what we're lining
yeah,
up as?
Yeah, I think
right,
we are.
Let's
I think
do
we
it that
4-3-3.
Way. Biru then, yeah.
Biru yeah, on the left back. So
yeah.
Give me your center backs.
Julio and Leo?
Yeah.
Discarding
Matt Hedges right now?
Yeah.
Oof. Okay.
Ideal. I'm going to get caught up on ideal. I'll say, like, my ideal would be Hedges and Leo.
That's what I'm saying. Some fans would say, hey, Hedges and Leo need a shot together, but
we just don't know about Hedges, you know, he just hasn't
exactly
played enough.
But I mean, I think they both can complement themselves. Like I believe Leo would be good with Hedges. But I think we all know Julio is not getting benched. And I think that Hedges is not ready for a full, you know, huge game out of the bat.
What about the Ring and Leo partnership that we saw for a bit last season? Does that get no love anymore?
Let's not see Ring at center back.
He's so beautiful at midfield. Just leave him there. Let him be.
Okay. Before we get to the midfield, then, who do we have at the right back position? Ideally for Austin FC in 24.
Yeah, it'd be Galli.
Galli?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I think it's easy. Now, midfield, as the destroyer, Alex Ring, I think we're all in agreement of that.
Yeah.
Okay, moving forward.
That's the five, right? Just staying defensively.
Yes. Valencia could be his son, but that's another question, right? Now, moving forward, in front of him being a bit more creative, who do you got?
Danny. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. I love it. And then in front of Danny being the super player, right? The main guy, Drewsy Diarra, no question, right?
Easy.
I think the hardest part for 24 is going to be getting the attack down. I mean, that's going to be the one that we're going to go back and forth on. So on the left, who do we got?
It's going to be Rigoni to start. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not excited about that. Again, like I said, as an actual winger, out and out winger, I've not really been super happy with them. Now, it's possible that, like, if Biru comes in, that he plays really advanced and Rigoni is tucked in a little bit more. And in that case, I'd be a little bit happier with it. But Rigoni as an out and out wide player is not exciting to me at all.
Now, the club does have an option on Rigoni's contract for next season. This is the last one that he has, you know, guaranteed or whatnot under his deal. So it's very interesting to see if Rigoni is going to snap this season, because he has to earn it, right? And I've seen a lot of support from fans from different parts of social media, and also Discord and also Slack, you know, saying like, hey, Rigoni is going to break out this season. Rigoni wasn't that bad last year, so this year he could be pretty good. And it's going to be very interesting to see what version of Rigoni we get. Are we going to get the guy like, hey, I want to stay in Austin? Because Valencia just had a recent interview with some media outlet out of Colombia, if I'm not mistaken. And he really emphasized the fact that he loves the life in the United States. He's saying how you can't compare that life to anywhere in the world. It's safe. You know, after games, you can go out with your family. You know, you can go to many different places and just feel secure and feel safe. And there's a lot of places in the world where you don't feel that. I think that was a great thing mentioned there. And that goes into the decision of a lot of soccer players. That factors into the decision of a lot of soccer players if they're going to stay here or not. So just to stop rambling, I'm very interested to see what Rigoni is going to give us. Does he want to stay in Austin? Is he going to play for that contract? Or is he just going to see the end of it and then probably take a deal in Brazil? Because if you look at his social media posts, his comments are flooded by Sao Paulo fans, by all kind of fans from Argentina, from Brazil. So what kind of Rigoni are we going to get? I'm very curious to see, you know. But
I'm not optimistic at all. If we get Sao Paulo Rigoni, like especially early Sao Paulo Rigoni, we're going to be fantastic this year. Because he can do it. We all know that, like, he, when he's on, he can be a really good player. He just hasn't been on for a good chunk of his career in the past 2-3 years.
And not only that, but I said it the day we signed him, and I have always been on that hill, and I'll die on that hill. Rigoni can be a very good assister for us. I'm not saying, you know, DP numbers or maybe crazy numbers, but he can be a very good assister. And he had a lot, and I mean a lot, of very, very good, would have been assists if it wasn't because of the finishers.
Yeah.
So,
I agree.
So yes, it's like with Zan. Zan can get those assists, but it really depends on who puts the ball in the back of the net. I don't have a lot of faith in him putting the ball in the back of the net. But he has the quality to help us assist him.
Now, also, let's not forget that last season they took a goal away from IG Rigoni. The ball crossed the line. It crossed the line. I will not forget that game. And that could have been the boost that Emmy needed to just, you know, get into that DP area of goals and assists. I don't know. I'm just kidding. But we'll see who we get. Now,
We have two positions left. If I'm not mistaken, we need the nine and the right wing. So who are we putting at the nine and on the right, guys?
You want to go?
Yeah.
Who's your nine?
My nine, I'm putting Diego right now.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Same. I'm there as well.
Okay. All right. And on the right, why is it Ethan Finley? Or is it not?
It's O'Brien.
Oh yes, I forgot about my Gio O'Brien. Yeah, I think it might be him. Ethan yeah. is gonna fight though.
He'll fight.
Like I'm an Ethan supporter 100%. But I do think I want him to fight for the starting spot, and I know he will fight for the starting spot. But right now, I see him more as the helpful sub rather than the starting player.
All right. Mind you, Kevin, is there anything you want to add to that take, mate?
No, I mean, kind of similar to what we were talking about on the left side. I think there's a good chance that Galley, if we were to play in a 4-3-3, that Galley gets really high and O'Brien's going to tuck inside a lot. And you'll see him, like we were talking about earlier on that goal, he's going to be inside close to Driussi and he's going to play off him. So it'll be really fun to watch him run in behind the lines and, you know, Driussi hitting those assists, or if Driussi is switching out with Rubio. Rubio hitting those balls through. It's just going to be a dynamic that we haven't really had before.
I agree, mate. I'm actually very excited to see what's to come here in 24. We're right around the corner of the Coachella Valley Invitational. We're going to see a full match stream with the Galaxy in this Invitational Hangout, this Invitational Tournament. So we're finally going to get more than just, you know, overanalyzed press statements and overanalyzed preseason matches that are closed to the public. But like I said earlier, thank you, Mike and Kevin, for being here today on the Top Flight Pod. Shout out to Football Critic for joining us as always. We have come to the end. Shout out to everybody that sent us questions to answer on here, either on Diego Rubio or the World Cup and, you know, stuff like that. So let's see, gentlemen, is there anything else you would like to add on the Austin FC side of things, mate? I'll start off with you, Kevin. You can sign us off a little bit.
Man, I just think you never know what's going to come in a season in MLS. So every prediction that you think of making as a fan, just be open to the idea that you could be completely wrong.
That's true.
Like,
that's not wrong at all.
It's so unpredictable. We could end up having an amazing season with this weirdo roster that we've got. So fingers crossed. Let's just see what happens.
Hey, fingers crossed. We might even make it out the Leagues Cup group. Fingers exactly. crossed, ladies and gentlemen. Football Critic, mate, anything else you want to add on to this episode? We talked, you know, about the recent Austin FC news. Is there anything else you would like to add, brother?
I'm just happy that we're in February. The season is finally going to start. We have games from here until we actually play Minnesota Q2. And I'm excited. Like Kevin said, you can never really never know what's going to happen in MLS. And if you look at the 11 that we just built, it's actually not that bad. It's another conversation, but that is starting 11 is not that bad. It really mostly depends on what type of system we play. But I think we can have a decent season. I believe the predictions came out today. And they said in MLS we would be fighting between the 14th and the 8th spot. I can't disagree, but that does tell me that I feel like if we actually have a system that could somewhat work defensively and offensively, we can fight for a playoff spot. Not top spot, but playoff spot.
Okay. I like that take. Now, on that note, my G's, thank you for joining us for another episode of the Top Flight Pod. Like I said, your host Hernan, you can call me H, Football Critic. Thank you for being here. And our special guest of the episode, my G, Kevin Morris. Shout out to you guys for talking Austin FC here with me. And also for everybody out there that will tune into the pod. Now, we'll be back with more. And in the meantime, have a good night, have a good day, and we'll see you soon. Later, y'all.